Weekly in the early 20th century, he promoted the careers of Orville and Wilbur Wright, believing deeply that flight was going to revolutionize transportation. The trophy had been established in 1911 to be presented annually for the greatest achievement in aeronautics in America, with a bent toward military aviation. NASA's Project Mercury, after six successful missions in space, was over. At the ceremony were representatives from such Project Mercury aerospace contractors as McDonnell Aircraft Corporation, designers of the capsule, and Chrysler Corporation, which fabricated the Redstone rockets from the Army's missile team in Huntsville, Alabama. Now, at this White House ceremony, Kennedy wanted to personally congratulate the Magnificent Seven astronauts, all household names, for their intrepid service to the country. At the formal ceremony, Kennedy, in a fun-loving, jaunty mood, full of gregariousness and humor, presented the Flyboy legends with the prize. It was the first occasion for all seven spacemen and their wives to be together at the White House since the maiden astronaut, Alan Shepard, accepted a Distinguished Service Award for his Mercury suborbital flight of 15 minutes to an altitude of 116.5 miles on May 5, 1961. Surrounding Kennedy as he spoke were such aviation history dignitaries as Jimmy Doolittle, Jackie Cochran, and Hugh Dryden. Instead of recounting the Mercury 7's space exploits in rote fashion, Kennedy used the opportunity to drive home his brazen pledge of 1961 that the United States would place an astronaut on the moon by the decade's end. Scoffing at critics of Project Apollo, NASA's moonshot program, as being as thick-headed as those fools who laughed at the Wright brothers in 1903 before the Kitty Hawk flights, he turned visionary. Some of us may dimly perceive where we are going and may not feel this is of the greatest prestige to us, Kennedy said. I am confident that its significance, its uses and benefits, will become as obvious as the Sputnik satellite is to us, as the airplane is to us. I hope this award, which in effect closes out the particular phase of the program, will be a stimulus to them and to the other astronauts who will carry our flag to the moon and perhaps someday beyond. For Kennedy, much depended on the United States going to the moon, beating the Soviet Union, being first, winning the Cold War in the name of democracy and freedom, and planting the American flag on the lunar surface. Just 5 weeks later, Kennedy was assassinated in Dallas, Texas. Writing the president's obituary in Aviation Week and Space Technology on December 3, 1963, editor Robert Hotz, who had been at the Collier Trophy ceremony that October, predicted that when a NASA astronaut walked on the moon in less than 6 years' time, Kennedy, America's 35th president, would be honored as a spacefaring seer whose eternal marching command to his fellow countrymen was, forward. Even though Kennedy wasn't alive for the fulfillment of his May 25, 1961 pledge to a joint session of Congress to land a man on the moon and return him safely to Earth, the marvel of television made it possible for more than a half billion people to watch the historic Apollo 11 mission in real time. And I was one of them. On July 20, 1969, when Neil Armstrong gingerly descended from the spider-like lunar module, the Eagle, with his hefty backpack and bulky spacesuit, becoming the first human on the moon, I cheered like a banshee. I was only 8 years old that summer, and watching all things Apollo 11. From the nearly 200-hour galactic journey out of the space coast of Florida to splashdown in the Pacific Ocean, became my obsession. I didn't miss a moment of the long, nerve-wracking chain of events that led to the Eagle establishing the moon base Tranquility, named in advance by Armstrong. I vividly remember our astronauts planting the American flag on the lunar scape, bouncing on the desolate moon's surface, handling instruments, and procuring moon rocks. My family lived in Perrysburg, Ohio, and we considered Armstrong, from the nearby community of Wapakoneta, essentially a hometown boy. It was stunning that this local kid, who grew up on an Auglaize County farm with no electricity, was leading America into the new world of lunar exploration. When Armstrong said, "That's one small step for man, one giant